Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It has been a very tense day around here in Jhené Angola Jr. because on one hand, we have last night, the 2021 National Champions of Women's College Basketball, the Stanford Cardinal.
Yes.
Jhené Egbuemeke, our proud alumni.
Yes!
Has been trying to celebrate and live her best life all day. And Jhené, you've been doing a remarkable job of it everywhere I've seen you.
I've been trying to, first of all, scream on as many platforms on ESPN as possible. It started with KJ and Z earlier this morning, then SportsCenter, then The Jump. Now here, we are the champions, Stanford Women's Basketball, 2021 National Champions. Biggest gap, biggest drought for a coach, 29 years between titles for Coach Tara Vanderveer, who, mind you, also this season became the all-time winningest coach in women's game, period. We are the best, and I'm going to be able to say that for 364 more days, and I absolutely love it. And if you miss Coach Tara, who joined us at the start of our show, check out our podcast.
It is incredible. I'm psyched for you, Jhené, because as someone who's gone 31 years now without watching his Notre Dame, or 32 years, excuse me, without seeing
old.
Notre Dame win a national championship, I am very jealous of what you've got today. So we've had that on one side, and I want to let you celebrate because that's what I'd be doing. I wouldn't even be here if Notre Dame had won a national championship. But on the other side, we have got news we've been waiting for all offseason. Sam Darnold traded by the New York Jets to the Carolina Panthers for three picks, none of them first-rounders, but he's on his way down there. The picture appears clearer now, or is it? For more on helping us break down that, we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline. We're our ESPN NFL analyst and host of the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, wherever you get your podcast. Mina Kimes joins us now.
Hey, Junior, should we tell her who I hung out with yesterday?
Oh, that is true. Mina, I was going to say, Jhené has been bumping elbows with Russell Wilson yesterday, and I don't think she got to ask him about the potential of leaving Seattle, but she did get to hang out with him at the Stanford game.
Oh, I'm sure he would have loved that. I saw your photo on Twitter, so I've already been stewing in envy over the last 24 hours. But he wanted to get in your photo, by the way.
Very true. What would you have wanted me to tell him, Mina?
That there's not a better situation for him to play quarterback in the NFL other than Seattle.
There we go. Cement it and make sure he knows how he is loved for anyone that missed it on HQ last week.
Adam Schefter, gosh.
And the staff pulled a very mean prank on Mina, making her believe that Russell Wilson had been traded. Instead, Mina,
Violence. We
get to today and Sam Darnold gets traded. I saw you and Field Yates go live on this, discussing and breaking down the trade. What was your initial reaction here about the fit and what Carolina gave up to get Sam Darnold?
Yeah, first from the New York side, I thought it was a good business. You know, everyone and their mom kind of knew they were moving on, drafting quarterback, most likely Zach Wilson out of BYU with the number 2 overall pick. So we've been kind of wondering, what will they do with Darnold? Will they try to trade him? Would they maybe do a draft night trade, or will they hold on to him, potentially have him stick around as insurance backup, or, you know, maybe have actually a quarterback competition? Well, that was answered today. And I think given how late we are in the process, how few teams need quarterbacks, and also the fact, again, that everyone knew New York was going to draft a quarterback, I thought this was a pretty reasonable return for them. And it's another really good trade for Joe Douglas, who, of course, traded Jamal Adams to Seahawks and got much more in return then. But I think for this team, where they are in their rebuilding process, makes a lot of sense. Now, for Carolina, I think that's where it gets a little bit more interesting and potentially complicated, because in giving up the second and the fourth, they're likely picking up Sam's fifth-year option, which will cost us $20 million next year, and basically saying, this guy's our starter. You don't trade that much for a quarterback to either A, be your backup, or B, be like a high, you know, maybe there's upside, we'll let him compete kind of player. He is going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers next year, not Teddy Bridgewater. And if he's not, then it was a dumb trade, quite frankly. You know, it's been no secret that Carolina wanted to move on from Teddy. They were sniffing around Matt Stafford and were rumored to be a potential trade-up candidate going from 8 in the draft. Clearly, this means they didn't think they'd have a shot at the quarterback they wanted, potentially because Atlanta, their in-division rival, was picking at 4. So now they get to spend that pick, which is very exciting because they've got quite the nice array of players. And it also means they're betting on Darnold's upside because statistically, Teddy Bridgewater was a much better quarterback last year. But I think you could argue he was in a better situation with better skill players and a better coordinator in Joe Brady and may have hit his ceiling. Whereas with Darnold, there's just a massive question mark. Do we even know who Sam Darnold, the NFL quarterback, is? Carolina's betting that we don't. And if they're correct, this will look like a very good trade.
Yes, I love it. Massive question marks. Now, this gets really fun and interesting. Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, and also one of the co-hosts of NFL Live, also just previously was live on Instagram, breaking all this down, joining us on Jhené Ngolo Jr. on ESPN Radio. And now we saw, as reported, and you mentioned this, Mina, Panthers wanted one of the top five quarterbacks in the draft. However, they were not willing to give up their number 8 overall pick in the draft, which was why they make the move for Sam Darnold. Now, you just mentioned they want to spend that pick. Damian Woody joined us earlier, Super Bowl champ. We all know him. That's our family. But he said that doesn't mean that it should preclude them from taking potentially a quarterback that is available, if any, at 8. How do you sort of make sense of all of that?
Oh, I don't think they're taking a quarterback at 8. I don't think you make this kind of trade unless you're trading for a quarterback. A starting quarterback, rather, given the amount of draft capital. And then again, the fact that they're probably locking him in with the fifth-year option next year. Because if they weren't locking him in with the fifth-year option next year, this would be, again, crazy. Like, we were talking about Darnold and destinations like Pittsburgh or whatever, Washington. We were talking about him like, hey, bring him in, let him compete, give up a third. That is very different from trading a second and a fourth for him. And, again, likely picking up that option for a team like Carolina, where they're not at all set at quarterback in 2021. I think with the 8th pick, they can do a ton of things. It's a wonderful draft to be picking in the top 10 if you don't need a quarterback, because so many quarterbacks are going to be flying off the board early. You're going to see players who would otherwise go in the top 5 fall into that 5 to 10 range, ranging from Penei Sewell, left tackle out of Oregon, to Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end, who's amazing, to Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith. Carolina is going to get one of those guys. They're going to get a franchise player, and that is very exciting, not only for the team, but also for Sam Darnold, because if they were to get one of the guys I just mentioned, boy, that's going to make his life a lot easier, and he already is walking into a scenario with very good skill players.
Mina, you mentioned picking up that fifth-year option makes him the starter. It should be the decision, no doubt, if that's the case. Was picking up that fifth-year option the right decision to begin with, though?
For Carolina, you mean?
Yes.
Not for. I think it is if you like him enough to make this trade. Like, the two kind of go hand in hand. Like, you don't make this trade unless you think Sam Darnold is going to be your quarterback this year and next year. And with that said, you pick up the option. And he ends up costing you, by the way, in 2022, about the same what you would have paid Teddy if he was still your quarterback, which is that kind of mid-tier range of QBs. I think it's actually probably below average. But Sam Darnold has not shown us anything to this point to justify even getting paid what Teddy Bridgewater would have been paid. But many, many, many people around the NFL believe his situation was so horrible that it would have been impossible for anyone to show anything.
Mina, do you think, before we let you go, do you think there's any chance that Carolina tries to move Teddy at this point to see what they could get for him, or do you think he's there as a well-paid backup this season?
I think there's a very strong chance that they move him. You know, right now, he's on the books for just under $20 million. If they cut him, it would cost him about that much, so they're not saving a lot by doing that. I think if they traded him, depending on how they restructure the deal, they can cut that cap hit about in half. I'm not 100% sure, unless they restructure it, I don't really think it would be an attractive pickup for another team. So you probably have to make it worth their while and spread out the financial pain. But it just doesn't really make a ton of sense, assuming that they can actually get him off their books.
You can follow her on Twitter, @MinaKimes. Check her out on NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern here on ESPN. Or Download, subscribe, rate, and review the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate
you. Thanks, Mina.
Bye, guys.
Mina Kimes, kind enough to join us here. By the way, big inter-show battle. Mina Kimes' Nets take on our producer Shannon's Knicks tonight in the NBA. Going to get pretty heated in that one. I just hope they're very gentle with the Knicks at this point.
And KD's almost back. He was questionable for tonight, but I think he will be back. He's just like, oh, I think my team's good, you know, taking on the Knicks.
I'm going to say, you know what? Why not take the time when your team's won something like 17 out of the last 20 without you for more nights than not? So pretty nice space to operate from if you're Brooklyn. So we will get to that. We'll get to more on Sam Darnold. Some of the things Mina brought up, I think there's kind of four core issues here. And I think all right now can be set up to actually be explained and work out for Carolina in this deal with Sam Darnold. But we've also got a new coach down in the Carolinas. North Carolina expected to announce their new hire soon at head coach. Is it the right move? And how will the fan base receive this new coach? Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks for Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, for stopping by, helping us break down the Sam Darnold to Carolina Panthers trade that we heard. We'll get you plenty more on that, get you caught up on the particulars here very soon. But Janae, Carolina making news in plenty of ways today, as now they are expected and actually have gone and hired promoting longtime assistant Hubert Davis to be the coach to replace the recently retired Roy Williams in this spot. Hubert Davis, a 9-year assistant there, formerly a colleague of ours here at ESPN, was on College Game Day for College Hoops for about 6 seasons and now takes over in that spot. And Chiney, this has got to be tough because I'm sure North Carolina, like a lot of fan bases of blue blood programs, looks at their jobs and says, we should be able to go and handpick whatever big name in coaching we want for our spot. This is a guy that knows the program, but I wonder if that's going to be enough to satisfy this fan base.
Yeah, I think that is the best way to assume that would be the path based on what Roy Williams brought UNC back to, you know, back to the limelight, back to being one of the Dallin Cuff, our college basketball analyst, joined us earlier and he said top two jobs, Duke, UNC. And arguably, we don't know, like Coach K got a good thing going the same way my coach Tara Vanderveer got a good thing going. You never know when that's next going to be available. So now this is potentially one of the best, and we think on our show, the best job based on low pressures compared to Duke. You've got the brand awareness. You can recruit like crazy. And so now a lot of people would say, like, based on the pedigree of our program, we deserve a big name because that's what we command. But I think it's good to reset with Hubert Davis and just realize that this man is a Virginia native. You talked about how he was with us, part of our family at ESPN. He played for Dean Smith, long legend at North Carolina from 88 to 92. First round NBA draft pick by the Knicks, spent 12 seasons, which ain't no fluke. Put some respect on that in the NBA with 6 different organizations. So he can relate to almost every aspect, whether it is basketball or broadcast, right? Spending time as a college basketball analyst with us at ESPN. He can relate to what it's like to step into the shoes at UNC and be a Tar Heel. You know, he can have conversations about getting to the next level, maybe even struggling there, trying to find your place amongst teams. And on top of it, he earned his spot in the sense that he's an assistant coach long time for 9 years. Under Roy Williams. So every box checked. And also now he's making history as the program's first black coach. So I know when you think of big names and big programs, that's what the expectation is. But the reality is I'm looking at the resume and all of us are really discovering him. And it seems like a match made in heaven.
Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. And you mentioned a coach who is, we almost talked about, a young 50 years old heading into this program, who will be able to navigate the way things are changing. Because when we talked to Dallin Cove earlier, ESPN college basketball analyst, he mentioned Roy Williams also saw the way that things were going in modern college basketball and realized this may not be for him anymore.
I think it was really interesting to note in Roy Williams' press conference, I'm not the right man for the job anymore. I'm not the right guy. And he pointed out mistakes he made on the court, which I thought was interesting, to look, have that accountability, which we lack in our society, but in sports is supposed to be paramount, to say, I made these mistakes. And then also he made a note saying, you know, I don't even know what NIL means. The sea change is coming, and yep. He knows that, and a lot of older coaches know that. I mean, in the Supreme Court right now, amateurism itself is being argued, and that will come down in June. NIL, there's both houses of Congress have legislation passed. You've got 1,400 kids in the transfer portal on the men's side. Out of about 4,500, that's almost one-third of players are in the portal right now. He sees that sea change coming. It's time now to hand it over to somebody else.
Chiné, I think that when we see those numbers, a lot of coaches, and we've heard opponents of name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal cry foul because it's going to make their jobs a lot harder in the interim. This thing works like a pendulum, and when you have it swing this way, it's going to have to swing hard. And you're going to get players that probably don't act in their best interest, that see this newfound ability to transfer and make money and go maybe a little bit too far with it. That's what we need to balance out the way it's been. I bet he's right, Dallin, in that a lot of these older coaches probably don't feel like having to hang around to deal with all of that in that spot. Maybe some of them are truly opposed to the idea overall, but maybe some just see all the extra work it's going to take that's so much different than what they were doing and realize this may actually be something they're content to let another generation to deal with. And I think Hubert Davis in this spot, like you said, he's been where all these players want to go, is going to be someone perfect to be able to help shepherd them through these new decisions that they've got to make in the new face, the new wave of college athletics in general.
Junior, if I may analogize to my Stanford women's basketball national title head coach, may I do so? Okay, thank you. I do think it is a very difficult transition for coaches to go from what the game was, where it is amateurism in its greatest forms, to the last. And Junior, we've been a part of this transition, like social media, technology, just bringing more brand awareness to the athlete, where athletes can at times go through their schools, like Zion going through Duke. Do you remember what we used to do here at ESPN when Zion was on Duke? Like, it was just wild. We were doing Zion cams left, right, and center. And so there's a transition process that has been happening the last few years, maybe starting with us, right, back in 2012 to 2014 for me, to now the present day. And what my coach did, Coach Tara Vanderveer, it was not easy. There were plenty of bumps in the road. She had to change her entire philosophy, not just with how she treats players, because, you know, it's the old school, like run, punishment and all that type of stuff. Now there's science that not only helps the body and the student athlete and pushes rest and different ways to recover, but also science like analytics and then also opportunity that, you know, social media and the brand awareness brings. And so for her, I saw that happen and she embraced it. She was not so big to say, all right, we're going to stick to my way because it's worked for 11 years that she's been at Stanford. Instead, she started like, all right, we're going to have some fun. You heard her say that earlier on our show. We're going to have some fun here and there, not take everything so seriously. We're going to lean into athletic, you know, analytics. Seven players on our team, even bigs, are going to shoot. That's what top tier coaches that have been in the game forever have to do. And I think Roy Williams has been doing it. But like you said, the pendulum is swinging so much to the extreme that maybe that was a little too much for him to sort of see a viable option for the next few years, because coaches don't, you know, just say, sometimes they're like, I want to coach for a year or not. But really, they have goals to keep doing this each and every day. When they're done and they retire, they don't just stop. They go into consulting. They're always around the game. And so I do believe that Coach Roy Williams has the best interest of this new modern athlete, and even so much so that he was selfless in stepping away so someone else can really attack that with 100%, because that's exactly what the job requires.
I think we've always seen, relating to the players that you coach, we've heard about that talk for probably the last 5-10 years, it being more important than ever with the generation coming up. Having a coach that's equipped to not only manage the academic side of campus, the boosters, all of the alumni that help fund these programs, and now also manage the organizations, the third parties that are going to help a lot of these schools digest the new name, image, and likeness bills, the new rules around this part of college athletics, I think that's going to be paramount in the programs we see succeed on a very, very high level, like Chiné's Stanford Cardinal.
Thank you. The highest level when it comes to my Stanford Cardinal. Okay? Because we're national champions in junior. I do like this. I think a lot of coaches are making that transition. Did you see in the women's tournament, obviously when the weight room debacle happened, how many coaches, tenured coaches, posted their own statements? Even former coaches, Notre Dame's Muffet McGraw, who's now working with us at the ACC Network, coaches are understanding that this is the point where you just have to jump on board. And now I think you're seeing the other side of it with Roy Williams. But now we also have Hubert Davis stepping into the helm. And I'm loving the opportunity he has.
Get with it or get lost. It's going to be the flavor going forward. Coming up next, we'll get into, again, the decision made by the New York Jets and the Carolina Panthers to go ahead and ship Sam Darnold on down to Carolina. And the shot heard around the world this weekend, Jalen Suggs and the game winner in the Final Four. Did that shot save the tournament and propel us to an all-time matchup tonight? We'll get to that next. Chenin Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenin and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Chenin Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinee Ogwumike, still right now basking in the glow of her championship, watching the parade take place in front of her. Chinee, how badly do you wish you were trading places? You were back with Stanford right now, rolling around in the convertibles we've seen that team celebrating their women's national championship in.
I'm not going to lie. I'm good. I'm at home. It's been a stretch. It has been a stretch. They're young, and they can be in these streets literally in convertibles, riding around and getting it. Me? I'm old, so doing this whole fly home, do the drive, turn up, social distance style, I'm glad it's a Monday because it gave me a very, very good pace to my activities.
That is true. Pacing is important. Spacing is important, like the great John Taffer once said. Chinee, have you forgiven Sam Darnold? Because he's taken, I feel like, a lot of shine out of your day right now as you came in here wanting a three-hour victory lap, and instead what we've had is this constant inundation of Sam Darnold, no longer with the Jets, traded down to Carolina's Panthers. I feel like you and Sam Darnold might have to have words soon.
I actually forgive Sam Darnold. I really do. I don't know if he loved our song, our rendition. It seems like once he had an opportunity to get out, he got out. You know, no, I forgive him just because I know that today talking about Stanford for like everything, it's all right. Like, you know, moderation, everything in moderation. So you've been holding down the football side. I've been holding down the national championship, the basketball side. So we've been in balance. And because of Sam, we got to talk to a lot of our friends. We got to talk to Mina. We got to talk to Damian Woody for the first time in a long time. So, you know, I'm always glass half full.
Absolutely. And he's a Pac-12 guy, proud USC alum. So
yeah, you're right, I guess. Look at you.
It all comes back to the spot there. But you're right. We've gotten to talk to a lot of people about that trade again. Sam heads down to Carolina for 3 picks overall in that trade. He gets a fresh start with Joe Brady and Matt Rhule, that coaching staff that seems poised to give him the best opportunity. Great weapons in that spot. If they pick up his fifth-year option, Chinee, I still think you're getting him at a premium price for a quarterback in this league to get a look and see if the upside you're betting on can be more than you're getting from Teddy Bridgewater now for the same price in all of that spot. And the Jets get clarity in their quarterback room. They can now take Zach Wilson with that number 2 overall pick and not have any concerns about who's going to be the voice in that room, who's going to be getting priority when it comes to development. And so I think everyone can look at the situation, and there's a way for both to come out winners. We do know this involves the Jets, so there's a chance that could all go to hell, too. Now, Chinee Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio. We've also got the national championships in men's college basketball tonight. Gonzaga.
Wow. Can't believe
Baylor.
We're finally getting to it.
It is amazing, Chinee, what Sam Darnold and the bleeping Jets can do to a Monday morning around here. But we do get a matchup of the preseason 1 and 2 ranked teams in college basketball. The first time that's ever happened on the men's side. And Chinee, after Jalen Suggs hit that shot to propel them to here, it felt like all the momentum publicly finally shifted to Gonzaga in a way they've probably deserved all along for the history they're on the cusp of.
Absolutely. That was a really fun game. It really was. UCLA has a lot to be excited about if we're going to give love to Stanford and USC and Sam Darnold. Give love to UCLA. Oh, did I say UCLA? Yeah, UCLA. Good. To the matchup tonight, I really do think, and I said this before, I've got Gonzaga winning it all. I've had them winning it all. But there is always a point in the tournament, Junior. I've been in 3 tournaments. First one, I made it to the Final Four. Second one, I made it to the Final Four. Third one, I know I'm like trying to remind myself. First one made it to the Final Four. Second one, I went and made it to the Final Four. Third one, I got bounced out of the Sweet 16. And then fourth one, my senior year, made it to the Final Four again. At each point in the tournament, there's going to be a game that tests you beyond measure, that sets you up for winning the next game. And I think that's exactly what we saw with Gonzaga, the Bulldogs, being tested, going to overtime, having to win through a tough shot. Now, Junior, I will say this. Jalen Suggs, that shot was amazing. I do think there are levels to it, though, in the sense that, like, first of all, he did the celebration that I dream of. Like, something happens, I am totally in the Dwayne Wade, the Kobe jump on the, you know, table and pound your chest. Like,
and that's what he said. He said he's seen those celebrations and always
exactly.
wanted to be part of that moment. So he's very aware.
So when I hit a game winner, I'm doing the exact same thing. If we win a championship, I'm doing the exact same thing. You heard it here, and I'll even reference Jalen. But my point is that shot was really interesting, and I do think it was a pressure shot that will help them set up themselves up for a very tough test tonight in Baylor, in that when the game is tied, I believe it was 90-90, UCLA scores to tie it. You have one possession. You know that if you miss, it's not like you're down three or two or one. It's just make it. You go to, you know, make it, game's over, miss it, you know, more play. And that is exactly the type of shot you want to see a top player make that's going to transcend to the next level. But more importantly, that's the difference. That sort of feels like the pressure is off. That one play that they made now will set them up for success. So obviously a lot of history for Gonzaga, trying to be the first team to finish the season unbeaten since 1976. We've talked about it a million times, the Bob Knights IU team. But I still have the Bulldogs, and maybe it's just more from the historical standpoint, the story of Jalen Suggs, then also Drew Timmy. I mean, Cliff, our producer, talks about him all the time. I'm loving it. Even though Baylor can do something as well, I just think the year, I mean, if I had feelings about the Stanford, I have feelings about Gonzaga.
Well, I think looking at this, it's important to remember Baylor on the other side erased Houston from existence in that first game. We rolled off that worried if we were going to get a decent game. Gonzaga went into that game against UCLA as 13.5-point favorites when that line first came out. And after watching Baylor obliterate Houston in the other semifinal, we weren't sure what was going to happen there, Chiney. So we're kind of, because of the strength of that shot, and like, you hear Jalen Suggs talk about it. He's getting asked if this is the best moment of his life. Listen to this.
So I've always said a football game, a section championship against Bonilla St. Margaret my senior year was my greatest sports moment that I've been a part of. The skyrockets above that. I mean, it was nuts, and I still can't speak. I mean, I have a million things going on in my head, and I just can't believe that happened. I don't think it's really going to hit me, you know, until I wake up tomorrow, but I mean, tonight was special.
Chiney, he sounds delirious after that, because that is now going to be talked about as one of the best shots, maybe the best shot and best game in the history of the tournament. He was immediately getting messaged alongside of Christian Laettner and some of those all-time shots that we've seen. And so it makes sense that the public's going to be all in on Gonzaga at this point.
You know what I love? Yes, the public's on it, but yes, put respect on Baylor as well. Like, Baylor can go out there and just dominate. Likelihood is cool, but like, I do think the story is on Gonzaga based on the history of the season. But it's funny, Jalen Suggs and then also Haley Jones, Stanford's most outstanding player of the women's tournament, she said the same thing that he said. You know, that final possession with Ari McDonald of Arizona, you know, she said she almost blacked out. She didn't know what the heck was going on. Like, that shot goes up and you black out, and then all of a sudden it's a miss and then you won. Like, it's cute to see both tournaments, a lot of players stepping into their own greatness, but also being kids kind of ish, not kids, but you know what I'm saying? Enjoying it at the same time. Like, James, like, I honestly don't know what happened. This is amazing. And now more history can be made tonight. So I'm excited for that.
More history can be made tonight for Gonzaga. A chance to go undefeated and win a title. The first since the Indiana team from 1976 managed to pull that off. We will see. That's coming up at 9:20 Eastern. But coming up next, the NFL is on the cusp of passing a rule that could help this league going forward forever. I've got one bit of advice on how they can make it 1,000 times better. That's coming up next. Chiney Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney Ngola Jr., the podcast.
We rocking with the best. Yes! We got the S on our chest. Yes! Stanford University, champions of the tournament. 2021, we did it. We did it. Okay, sorry.
Chiney Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Rise up, nerds, is not something I expected to hear in a rap song, but that is our very own Chiney Ngumike during her playing days at Stanford, letting everybody know what they're all about. And Chiney, we heard it time and time again after last night's national championship win for the Stanford Cardinal, from your head coach Tara Vanderveer, who joined us earlier in the show, and from everybody else, there were a lot of people's shoulders that this team stood on to get there. And I heard your name get mentioned an awful lot, so I got to imagine you partied just like the team did, right?
I didn't. I'm not going to lie. I'm just not built for it anymore. I'm not built for it, but we did hang out with the team. We hung out with coach. I mean, there's a video on social media. Go check out my sister's timeline, at Nemkati. And, you know, my dad was there. It just was a beautiful moment, 29 years in the making between titles. My sister and I thought that we would win a championship. She was born in 1990. I was born in 1992. And so we're like, it's destiny. Those are the 2 years that they won titles. We're going to be there and we're going to get one. Well, we didn't. 29 seasons of players that are top tier players every year, almost every year, number one, number two, rarely number three. And we weren't able to get it. 29 seasons of top tier players, never getting it done until this group did it. So congratulations to Stanford University, our women's basketball team, for winning the title. I wish I could have talked about it for 3 hours straight, but it's okay. We got a job to do here and we held it down.
We did hold it down. If you missed anyone that was on the show today, Stanford head coach Tara Vanderveer did join us early on. Our thanks to her for joining us before the parade that Stanford had. C.L. Brown helped us break down the new Hubert Davis hire by North Carolina, becoming their next head basketball coach on the men's side. Dallin Cuff, our ESPN college basketball analyst, and Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, helping us break down that Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers trade that took away so much of Chiney's victory lap here on this show today. But we're going to keep rocking with the energy that Chiney's brought and keep it going through the end here on Keep That Same Energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy, Chiney. The Kansas City Chiefs proposed a rule change this year to expand the use of single-digit numbers to other players outside of just what we had seen here, allowing defensive backs, linebackers, wide receivers, and quarterbacks to all wear single-digit numbers. I know some in that group were already. I forget which ones were the new groups, to be honest. The point is, they're expanding who can wear single-digit numbers, Chiney, and I think that's great for skill position players. What they need to make this rule better is to expand it to the big boys. You heard me all fall say that defensive linemen in college football should be allowed to wear zero since that became available. The NFL needs to allow its gigantic athletes on the defensive line to finally wear single-digit numbers, fulfill the prophecy, and give us the product we deserve.
Agreed. This is something you've been advocating in the college game, which we got a little bit. And so now, yeah, take it to the pros. Keep going because I want to sing at the end of this.
All right, we do need to get support for the thick guys in there. Now, keeping that same energy, Chiney, did you see this the other day? The video making the rounds of what was at the time supposedly former Raiders top offensive line pick Bruce Campbell getting knocked the bleep out near the checkout line of some store in that spot. Raiders tackle, former tackle Bruce Campbell had to come out. The pride of Connecticut right there, Hyde Leadership Academy, had to come out and say, no, no, that was not me. That was some other large, very swole man getting hands absolutely torched to his chin. Chiney, that's got to be a tough spot to wake up, go on this internet, and see people slandering you and your football play all because they think you got knocked out by some dude who pulled up his pants and said it was time to go to work.
So like Marcus Spears, a lot of the Marcus Spears getting confused on the Wendy Williams show, that was not me. No, I cannot be your Superman. A lot of confusion. I love it.
Mass confusion there.
No, I'm not going to save you.
There we go.
So that was not Bruce Campbell, who, by the way, destroyed my high school football team in the state championship, in the state playoffs my freshman year. But, Chiney, this is a sad day, and we know Sam Darnold and the trade to the Carolina Panthers took up a lot of your time today, but this is also the end of an era, and I know you want to pay a solemn tribute farewell to Sam Darnold and the Jets.
And then get ready with We Are the Champions. Sammy and the Jets no longer. Sammy and the Jets no longer. Sammy. He's free now. You're good to go. Sammy and the Jets. It's been real. R.I.P., baby.
Spread your wings and fly, Sammy. Cliff, do we have We Are the Champions?
We.
Hit the music.
We are the champions, my friends. Stanford women's basketball. Fighting till the end. Stanford, baby, for life. We are the winners. Spain and Fitz next.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.